Hello, and welcome to the Psych and Business Podcast, where we highlight the integration of psychology and psychological principles into the world of business and organizations. I'm your host, Dr. Ernest Ray. All right, so we're going back to talk about some of those critical skills and characteristics for great leaders. And today I want to focus on courage. Now, the American Psychological Association defines courage as the ability to meet a difficult challenge despite the physical, psychological, or moral risks involved in doing so. Now, some of the examples that they gave when they're talking about courage is overcoming a destructive habit and voicing an unpopular opinion, which can be really important in the workplace. And this brings up one of the hard things about courage. Courage can mean a lot of different things to different people. The concept of courage has actually been studied for a very long time, as far back as Confucius and Aristotle. Aristotle actually viewed courage as one of the cardinal virtues. There were four, and he viewed courage as one of the four cardinal virtues. But because of the subjective nature of courage, it's really hard to pin down. And then there's also how close courage is to other negative behaviors, such as rashness or foolhardiness, sometimes even stupidity. It's really hard to get a consensus on what courage or courageous acts look like, especially when sometimes courageous acts can be interpreted as reckless acts. So for example, when you go skydiving, is that courageous or reckless? An example in the workplace is if you were to say fire your top earner because of interpersonal conflict that they were causing within the team. Would that be courageous or would that be reckless? So you can see how there are many different conceptualizations of courage. Some think of it as a personal trait, an attribute, a mindset, a behavioral act, and much, much more. Courage can be thought of as many different things, but there are some commonalities of the various concepts of courage. For example, the first one is that courage is usually a voluntary and an intentional act. So people choose to behave in a specific way that might be interpreted as courageous. There is usually an important goal or associated with it. So courage is usually seen when something is really important and significant. Courage also often includes external circumstances that include a perceived threat or personal risk. But interestingly, it doesn't require fear. So you can have a perceived threat or personal risk, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be afraid of that perceived risk or perceived threat. So for this reason, sometimes courage is classified based upon the kind of threat that is being perceived, either physical courage or moral or psychological courage, which usually includes things like dealing with your internal fears, your personal growth, and say your self-doubt. So for leaders, we're usually talking about moral, ethical, and or psychological courage for things like speaking up in the workplace. For leaders, I don't really think courage is a choice. I think it's a duty. In fact, for managers, courage is often considered a managerial virtue, so something that is really expected of good managers and leaders. A great example of where courage is important in the workplace is speaking up. And one of the best examples I've heard about this is the Challenger rocket launch in 1986. The story goes that engineers on the project actually warned that the flight might be at risk due to below freezing temperature forecast for that morning of the launch. However, when the engineers raised this concern, they were actually pressured to reconsider their no-go position based upon this risk that they saw and actually flipped their recommendation to a go after being pressured, ironically, by leadership. You can see here that even though the engineers spoke up about it, they didn't have the courage to maintain the courage of their convictions and actually succumb to the pressure from leadership. So courage can actually be very important, not just for leaders, but also for the employees, because sometimes you know something is right or you know something is wrong and you're receiving pressure from leadership to change it, and you really have to have the courage of your convictions to stand firm for what you know and what you believe is right. So for leaders, managers, and employees, actually, you can think of courage as the willingness to do what is right in the face of real or perceived danger to yourself or your reputation, making courage one of those essential elements for effective leadership. This actually brings us back to psychological courage. as many of the things that we talk about that require courage in the workplace deal with a threat to reputation or what others think of you, which is derived from other people's interpretation of your behaviors and how those behaviors impact them. So courage is also linked to motivation. Your motivation for being courageous needs to be stronger than that for remaining silent or not standing up or not engaging in whatever behavior requires you to be courageous. Courage is also a way to highlight commitment. If you act in a courageous way, it shows commitment to your principles, your values, your team, and your organization. For leaders to be willing to do what's right in the workplace, they need courage. Courage to deal with difficult situations, difficult employees, difficult bosses, difficult coworkers, difficult clients. They also need courage to push innovation in their cells, their teams, and their organization. Leaders need courage to stand up for the right thing, for fairness, even in the face of social and organizational pressures. To stand up when appropriate against your own team and sometimes against your own bosses. The Challenger space launch disaster being a perfect example of that. Now, courage can be hard to have, but there are a few conditions that can make it a bit easier to engage in courageous behavior. The first one we'll look at are internal factors, and this includes when a leader really believes in their goal or their decision, when it's really, really important. Having said that, I know that the Challenger example shows that even when it's important, it can be very hard to engage in courageous behavior, and sometimes that's not even enough to push you over the top. But in general, I think when things are really, really important, it's a lot easier to be courageous about something than when things have less important. The second one I think is important is those with high self-control and emotional balance. The more self-control you have, the more emotionally balanced you are in that you don't respond too highly or too lowly to situations, the easier it is for you to engage in courageous behavior. And that's because you have greater self-control of your emotions, which allows you to respond appropriately. There are also some external factors that I think are important to consider. First one is that it's also easier to be courageous when you are in a culture that supports, promotes, and even rewards a learning organization. And that is where mistakes are permitted and learned from rather than just punished. In this situation, courage can be contagious. Something that we or others do and is role model for us. If you have courageous leaders, it's easier for you to be courageous, to follow their example. If you have prior experience being courageous, it is easier for you to engage in additional courageous behavior because you've experienced what that's like and you understand how hard it can be, but also how rewarding it can be to engage in those courageous behaviors. So how do you develop courage in a leader? How do you develop courage in yourself? I would start by clarifying your values and your identity. It's really important for you to think clearly and understand what's important to you. What values and principles do you live by, and will you not compromise whatever the situation? What is that personal mission that drives you? What are your personal standards for success, your personal standards for quality, those standards that you will always stand by? It's important that you develop your self-confidence and your belief in yourself. Leaders who are going to step out and take courageous acts and behaviors need to really have that confidence in that act or the behavior or the decision that they're making. Strong self-knowledge is really important. Really understand who you are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Understand who you are as an individual. Practice with small-scale situations to build up for bigger ones. I know that I said it's easier to engage in courageous behavior for those big things, but you can start by engaging in courageous behavior for small things, even things that might not matter that much. Practice standing up. Practice speaking up. Practice those behaviors on the small scale so that on the bigger scale, you have some experience that you can rely on to help you be courageous. Engage in self-talk. Talk to yourself, encourage yourself, and challenge those negative thoughts, those thoughts that make you feel like you don't know what you're doing and that you shouldn't stand up and that your opinion is not valid. Challenge those thoughts. If you are an expert in your area, then you need to speak up. You need to be courageous. Learn from others. Find role models that are courageous and that stand up for what they believe in. One of the greatest examples of a courageous leader is Martin Luther King. Think of how courageous it was for him to advocate for civil rights in the time that he did, but to do so in a non-violent way, putting his own life at risk, but not fighting back when attacked. In effect, turning the other cheek. Imagine the courage that it took to speak out, to give a speech focused on a future hoped for, but far from reality. The courage required to maintain his personal commitment to justice, equality, and nonviolence, regardless of what the opposition did to him. Martin Luther King believed the cost of doing the right thing will always outweigh the cost of not doing it. Those who have similar beliefs will find it easier to behave and engage in the hard task of being courageous. As always, there's some really great research out there on being courageous. And so I encourage you to do some research on what courage is, what it looks like for you in your organization, and what you can do to improve your ability to be more courageous in those situations that you need to step out. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been helpful, and I hope you'll join us again.